I want to welcome everyone to our Keeping on Track open line. We are celebrating 24 years in business and just entering our 11th year of doing open line events. We have a few new exciting changes. First, we have our new 2018 open line format that comes with the launching of our new website. You can also find an archive of past topics on the publication event tab. Over the years, we've covered, you name the topic, we've covered it. So we have our Keeping on Track publication, and also our open line programs are available. And again, you can just go in there and find any topic you'd like. You'll also, our second book, Cracking the Business Code, is available on Amazon, or you can click on the book icons on the homepage. Plus our third book, Cracking the High Performance Team Code, is available, and we now offer skills testing, which has been a huge hit with our clients. Our topic today is fine-tuning manufacturing flow. My name is Dana Barocca. I'm the CEO of Lighthouse Consulting Services. I'll be hosting our program today. We have a few housekeeping items, and we're going to jump right into our topic. For those of you joining us for the very first time at Lighthouse, everything we do goes back to our mission statement, bringing effective insights to your organization. We do this through our in-depth work style and personality assessments to raise the hiring bar, and assist companies with a variety of services, including interpersonal coaching, team building, stress management workshops, and much more. We have an office in Taiwan and also in the UK, so if you would like to get leadership coaching for them or provide ideas for how to interact with a U.S. company, please let us know. Our Keeping on Track open line series is a response to a number of calls we get from our clients both domestically and globally to address the various issues that organizations are facing today. Our goal is to make this an interactive program, so on your screen you're going to see an area you can send questions or ideas during our discussion, and we'll attempt to respond to as many of you as possible. So please join us with your thoughts and insights you have along the way. At the conclusion of our program, we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with our guest. I feel very privileged to have our guest today, David Schaefer, who has served as President, Managing Director, Business Advisor, and Vice President of Sales for multiple companies, both for-profit and non-profit industries. He has worked with companies that include manufacturing, construction, health, elder care, distribution, services, and information systems, and is the co-founder of Arrow Up Partners, LLC. He has been recognized for his ability to effectively integrate all aspects of business, including financial management, information systems, infrastructure, and operations. He has assisted companies from executive strategy planning into operational and business process improvement opportunities, including sales strategies and executive life balance attainment. David, is that possible to have life balance attainment?
Isn't that something we'd all love?
That is. David is a certified member of the expert panel for Managing Americans and former chair for Visage International. He has been a frequent speaker and publisher in the areas of leadership development, business planning, value creation, sales management, strategy implementation, and talent development. I feel very privileged to have David with us today, and he'll be sharing ideas that will help each of us in preparing for the future and for dealing with today's business issues. Also, registration for our next program will begin at the end of today's program. The topic will be safety in the backbone of every business. David, welcome to Open Line. The show is yours.
Thanks, Dana. I guess I could quote my wife when you read my background that says, if you're old enough and been around long enough, you probably have touched on many, many things. So I appreciate that very, very fine introduction, and thank you again, and welcome everyone. What I'll do is I'm going to touch a little bit on what we are basically looking at relative to manufacturing. The goal is to fine-tune the manufacturing process. What I look at is primarily going to look at what companies face as viewed through the eyes of investment companies, which may be a rather unique way to look at this. One of the areas that I am extremely involved with is supporting private equity firms that have targeted an acquisition, a merger, or have a company within their portfolio, let's talk in terms of manufacturing, that perhaps is underperforming. And so I focus on business process improvement in the manufacturing flow from a focus on improving the value of the company. And by improving the value of the company, it clearly creates a lot of options for the people who work for that company. So when I start off looking at a company, and I've done some research through the multiple clients that I've had able to work with, some of the common challenges that surface, and see if these resonate with any of you on the line, that the customers expect immediate fulfillment, unquestioned quality, and a great price. As we continue to expand the use, for example, of social media, gratification has to be instant, and it's carrying over to manufacturing as well. When I place an order, I expect results. If we don't improve the results, is complacency and others will take our business. Competition is always there for us, and we have to always be improving. When we look at a company from an investment perspective, is it at the beginning of its life cycle? Is it at the end? Or is there opportunity for growth? And again, if we don't change, change will be imposed upon us. Example, a client that I worked with who was very successful in manufacturing components associated with windows and doors, saw competition coming in and felt if he didn't continue to improve, competition would take over his business. And that in any type of competitive environment, there's a challenge of quality. And that's not new. That's been forever and ever and ever. The ability to balance quality with the overall production of products. And more today, consumers, contractors that we work with, they expect us to absorb any costs associated with quality, and we'll talk about that a little bit in fine-tuning the manufacturing flow. So when I look at operations, some key questions that you might want to ask about your own business. I use the term tribal knowledge. In many companies that we get involved with, we see that what replaces what normally folks would call standard operating procedures is really replaced by tribal knowledge. This is how we've always done it. This is the way we should do it, and we're not going to deviate from that. And again, if you look at the growth of a company, we need to look at how many standard operating procedures are in place versus this tribal knowledge. The vision, mission, and values of a company, you might find it interesting that the number one reason that was published by a company called PitchBook, which looks at investment opportunities within the manufacturing business, their number one reason for acquisitions and mergers not working is that the vision, mission, and values of the companies were inconsistent, and by not being consistent, the cultures did not match, and without consistent and agreeable cultures, you are going to fail. So are my operations meeting what I've put up on a mission? I will also say that in the companies we walk into, and I'm sure this is true for all of you, if there is a mission statement up, it is definitely not one that says our mission is to maximize our profits and minimize our quality. So everybody focuses on that quality, but are our operations aligned with it? Or do we have effective communication in place in meeting customer commitments? Is there that morning meeting in manufacturing between perhaps sales, customer service, and operations that say, here are the key elements of what we need to accomplish today, and how does it affect our customers if we have to make modification? Did we schedule the appropriate maintenance associated with our equipment? Do we have a formalized quality control process? And finally, do we measure customer service? Very few organizations really go out there and measure the customer, who is really the final arbiter in how effectively we're doing our job. So I put these questions out relative to you looking at your organization. And if you can't say emphatically, yes, we have addressed all these areas, then you're already at a point where there's probably inefficiencies within your organization. Building on that as we go forward is looking exactly at the organization and infrastructure. What investment do we make in Assure training? Too many people do not focus on the providing training for employees and consistency. Are we sharing information within the organization, or are we reverting back to the tribal knowledge? Do we have formalized? Go ahead.
A good point about training. I know we have individuals from across the country listening to this program and globally, but for those of you that are in the state of California, the state has a program for reimbursement for a substantial amount of training money. So if you want information on that, give us a call, and we'll hook you up with someone.
Yeah, and that's an excellent point, Dana. We've had the opportunity to work with organizations. When we were having our general discussion, I referenced CMTC, which is California Management Training Corporation. They facilitate some of that acquisition of those funds and put programs together for companies to reimburse for adequate training. The goal, again, is to assure that we're keeping a competitive edge in the manufacturing, and this is similar across the country as well. When we go forward, as we move forward through the organization, we also look at the management reporting systems. Do we actually have in place management reporting systems that can provide IT information? I like to use a certain line in there. Many companies view information technology as an expense. I'd like you to maybe give some thought and look at information technology as an investment rather than an expense. By that, is the data available? Do I have the appropriate security? If there's anybody on the line who's involved with government subcontracting, you know more than ever the focus is on compliance with multiple regulations, using terms such as DFAR, compliance. Those are absolutely essential. And then when we look at our technology, are we measuring variances associated in dollars and time? So with these key questions, it really helps for you to ask internally those questions. And one of the suggestions would be if you are open to asking those questions, clearly go to the source of the answers and have the people answer the questions themselves, rather than just the perception of certain management people, but get the feedback and look for where there may be discrepancies. So where does all this take us? There's a terminology out there that many of you have heard, and it's called looking at a lean strategy. So really, what is it? We've heard about it a lot. It's a terminology that's been thrown around for virtually for years and years and years, but what is it and how can I apply something like this in part or in whole to my manufacturing? And it really becomes a foundation for fine-tuning that manufacturing flow. So when we talk about lean, it's really a strategy that reduces lead time in all areas of production. And we'll talk more about what we mean by lead time and why that is so essential. Obviously, a focus on quality, cost, and customer delivery. Are we putting in place operational strategies that address quality, cost, and customer delivery? If it's not, then why are we doing these particular strategies? And have we designed our strategy to create a cost-competitive advantage? Clearly, and as we mentioned at the very onset, that in addition to quality, there's a tremendous demand for keeping costs under control and keeping us competitive. And have we built an environment of continuous improvement? The one thing that most successful manufacturing companies do is they constantly reevaluate what their processes are and are they actually updating them to keep track of innovation, changes, and looking for improvement. And those who say there never is room for improvement are truly fooling themselves. So we're going to go into a little bit more for you, some of the areas of how can I take components of this thing I call lean strategy and apply it to make my operations to run more efficiently and fine-tune that manufacturing flow. So when you look, yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So far, you mentioned a couple of things. Operations, organization, infrastructure, and reporting systems. Why did you select those particular areas?
I look at those because for a vast majority of companies when they are evaluated, particularly when evaluated by companies that are looking to invest in a company, the first focus is one on what I call financial due diligence. What is the finance position of a company? But realistically, if you step away from that, the areas that I've talked about, the operations, organization, infrastructure, and reporting systems, are really the bread and butter of the daily performance of a company. The finances are used as a tool to measure these performances, but it's very difficult through a financial focus to modify the effectiveness of a company. You can save money here or there and report on budgets, but realistically, through these other areas I've touched on, manage the reporting, the organization, infrastructure, and operations, that's where the value really comes into play. As a little antidote here on the side, for those of you who have been involved in any type of information system acquisition or integration or merger into your company, one of the things that software firms typically do is, if you think about it, they justify the benefits of that system based on operations, organization, reporting, et cetera, and then they go ahead and they install accounts payable and accounts receivable. Well, the justification of the system came through the operational side. That's why I try to focus on that, because that's clearly where the value comes in any type of reporting or systems being used. When we go to lean, though, one of the major components, and this is where you could start to evaluate and affect how well your manufacturing process is a focus on a major component in lean, which is called lean time. And lead time is a variable that typically can be controlled by you. It's reduced by eliminating waste and rework. If you really think about how many times you rework an operation or how much waste is created, it has a negative impact on lead time. And by eliminating waste, improves the quality, reduce costs, and it improves delivery commitments overall. An example of that, to give you a parallel for those of you who've gone to see a physician, to go see your doctor. When you visit with your doctor or you're having a particular lab test done or an x-ray, there is a definite defined period of time that you're going to be with the doctor, or a definite period of time that it's going to take to draw the blood, or a period of time to actually take the x-ray. But for all of us who've gone to the doctor, how much do we enjoy sitting in that waiting room waiting for our turn to come up? That is a lead time. And if I was to measure the total cost of when you sit down in that waiting room to when you complete whatever it is you're seeing the doctor, the one variable that could make your life more satisfied is reducing the amount of time you wait to see that doctor or the lab technician. That's why the lead time is such a major component of what we need to focus on. So when I look at that, I then go to what are the types of activities that happen in a production environment? And I would submit to you, as you look at this slide, there's really three major activities that contribute to an overall manufacturing flow and operation.
Non-value. David, I want to mention,
yes, sir,
that whether you're a manufacturing operation or you're a service organization, all this applies. It's all the same
thing. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate that, Dana. I use the doctor as an example because one of the clients I'm working with right now happens to be a privately owned medical practice. And we met and looked at her value, and her wait time for her patients on an average to get to see her was over an hour. By bringing on an additional provider or additional resources to help her out, we reduce that wait time from an hour to less than 30 minutes as the initial step, which meant that she could see more patients more productively and thereby increase her revenue. And interestingly enough, when you go see her reviews on Yelp and all the other places that people put their opinions in, she started to move up on the number of stars as far as her rating, simply because patients are waiting less time. When I look at the activities, but Dana, you're correct. It applies to our personal life as well. If we can reduce the amount of time we have to wait and just focus on production, how much more complete our lives may be. When I look at a production cycle, though, let's touch on the non-value-added activities. What are those? Those are activities that don't directly contribute to product or service. If you're in a manufacturing business, if you're in a distribution business, if you're in that healthcare business, how much time is spent looking for something or searching for something or trying to get what's appropriate? Go in manufacturing to go find the parts that I need for this cycle. Those are non-value-added activities because you really can't charge your customer to go on out there and charge them because it takes you an extra 20 minutes to go find the part. On some that are necessary non-value, those might include such things as downtime for machines for maintenance repair or coming in and doing some cleaning. Example, I had a manufacturing company that was very, very heavy in welding and sanding. Well, there were periods where we had to bring the shop down to clean out all the filters and the vents from all the dust and dirt that's generated through the manufacturing. They're necessary, but they're really non-value. The customer doesn't see that. They just expect their products. And then last but not least, and probably the most important, is the value-added activities. This is the key to improving quality and commitments. So let's focus in on what actually are those value-added activities and what does it mean? A value-added activity is one that transforms your information and material into products and services the customer wants. If it doesn't provide value, or it doesn't bring quality, or it doesn't provide something that a client is willing to pay for, then it probably isn't a value-added activity from a firm perspective. But to make sure that I am providing value, some of the questions you need to ask and look at your own internal operation. And quite frankly, this, as you said, Dana, applies to distribution. It applies to the healthcare industry, construction, on and on and on. Was it done right the first time? Great question. Did it physically change the information or material? If in manufacturing, if I'm doing an activity that has not really done something to a product to enhance that product, is it a truly value-added activity? There are some exceptions in that, and that is associated with quality. We have certain quality testing we need to do, which is, in a sense, a value-added activity because by improving the quality, it reduces the rework. By reducing the rework, we keep our costs down. And realistically, is the customer ready to pay for whatever that activity is? They can see the value coming out the other end in the functions that you are performing. So again, our key focus is how do we improve and optimize our value-added activities? Well, under the lean, and I'm not going to go into, which would be a whole other discussion that we could have for hours on end on how do you do lean. So let me just give you some key points. And the reason I picked these out is I have gone through this with both manufacturing as well as distribution companies, primarily focused on manufacturing, and have introduced the concept of the five S's. What I'd ask you to do is when you think about this, also think about your personal life, your home life, how your desk is organized, because this applies throughout, even in your home environment, if for those of you who are working on projects or enjoy working on projects. The five S's, which combine the basis for the start of a lean, starts with the word source. Remove the items from the workspace that are not needed. In many cases, what we call that clutter. Let's get rid of what's needed. if I have a manufacturing work center, and within that work center, I require a certain set of tools, why would I have other tools there just because it's fun to have them sitting around? So remove items from the workspace that are not needed, which in essence is getting the tools available for the employees. Kind of one that people overlook, which is set in order. Think about your own home life. If you have a set of tools and you just toss the tools into a big toolbox and you say, okay, I'm storing the toolbox under a shelf in the garage, how that compares to maybe having the tools hung up on the wall in the same place at the same time so you know where that tool is. Again, we are focused on looking at value-added activities. So by arranging items in the workspace so they're easy to find, they're in the same place, close to the worker, sorted in order of how important those tools are to the worker, they know exactly where to reach for them. Example, think about going, which is probably not a pleasant discussion, but think about going to your dentist and you're sitting in the chair and the dentist is getting ready to work on your mouth and the dental assistant has come and he or she has put a tray out for the dentist that has all the tools that the dentist is going to require in a specific order, specific space, and the dentist, he or she, knows exactly where to reach to get those tools. And for us sitting in the chair with our mouth open, thinking about whatever we can other than the dentist, it's kind of nice to know that he's going as fast as he can with the right tools to get me out of that chair. The shine is to make sure your workspace is clean, functioning, and ready to go. Think about taking your car to the car wash, how great you feel. Doesn't it feel when you drive that car out of the car wash that it's somehow driving better than it did when it went in dirty? It's the same thing within manufacturing. Take pride in your workspace, keep the workspace clean, and make sure that it's there. Standardize, which says make sure that you've put in the first three S's. What that means is in many manufacturing companies, we have work centers set up as the process flows through the work center. It should be set up in a standardized process so that if an employee moves from work center, he or she knows that as they enter that work center, it's laid out exactly as it was in the previous. So we don't have to sit there and say, well, when I go to work center number two from one, I need to understand that it follows a totally different process of where my tools are, how it's organized. And then sustain. How many of us go in, look at our desk, clean it up, put things in the right place, and a month and a half later we come back and somehow all those papers have mysteriously reappeared upon our desks. So put in process a methodology for sustaining the implementation of these five S's. And I would submit to you, take a look at your operation and see if this is applicable. I will guarantee you, if you start focusing and getting the employees to buy in to this type of an organizational structure, you're going to start seeing a tremendous improvement in the overall manufacturing flow, the enjoyment of the employees, and the ability to move people to the appropriate work centers.
Hey, David, a question came in. What if people give pushback on the organizational side? I've been doing this for all these years now. I have my own way of doing things. Leave me alone.
Yeah, this is common. Having had the opportunity to walk through multiple manufacturing companies and work with employees, there is an extension to lean manufacturing that I haven't touched on here, and it's called training and development and including employees in the process. So in a successful lean manufacturing environment and improving all of this, what I've touched on is how a work center can be organized more effectively and focus on lead time. The other component is employee involvement. Successful implementation of a lean strategy includes having typical morning meetings with everyone in the work center to have them assume and accept accountability for their work center, teaching them that it is their work environment and that we're not telling you how to organize your work center, giving you some guidelines on how to do it. Secondly, is having employees contribute on a daily basis as to what amount of products that they think they can produce that day, what is their goal, and then the next day having a meeting with them and saying, look, we committed to doing X amount of product today. What were the reasons we didn't do it? How can we improve our operations? So Dana, to your question, you always get pushback, but you also get a unique environment where you are seeking involvement of the employees. Most of the pushback that I have seen is because standards operations are dictated to employees rather than having them buy into the concept. And it's not something that happens overnight. You really need to work with the employees. Where the pushback is really extensive, the key, and many of you will have seen this in your own company, there's usually three or four key people that are the leaders and respected within the organization. It has been a successful practice to take those three or four people aside, explain the process, give them the opportunity to be leaders. And one of the most effective ways I've seen this implemented is after the training, have them present it to the rest of the employees. It's amazing when you put a pen in their hand and say, take the lead and teach it, how quickly they buy into the process. So again, it's a challenge, but the benefits and the return, because nobody likes to be told, well, you screwed up on an operation and now we got to do rework and the customer is complaining. I mean, anybody who goes to work and hears that on a daily basis can't be happy. So if we start reporting back to these employees, get them involved and start reporting back and say, way to go, guys, we just reduced rework by, pick a number, 20%, or our customer sat just went up 10%. Congratulations, we're having a pizza party this Friday. It's amazing how quickly ownership is accepted when people feel they are in control. When we look at the five S's, let's talk about creating some standards. The enemy of quality is variation. And I'm going to repeat that. The enemy of quality is variation. Think in terms of Albert Einstein's statement, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results when the first results didn't work. If we can get to a position where there is minimal amount of variation and we can do the same operation, the same time, and theoretically follow a standard operating procedure that constantly does not vary, theoretically the quality should come out because we are basically doing the same thing over and over again, utilizing a proven methodology. With the best procedure is going to determine the best procedure that's going to reduce waste. This goes back, Dana, to the point you brought about some of the pushback. The people working on a particular operation are usually the best source to come back and tell you, you know, if we just modify this procedure this way, this way, and this way, we can really reduce waste. In many manufacturing companies where that tribal knowledge comes in, it's, we've always done it this way, so why, you know, just show up for work. You're here from 8 till 5. You're going to get your hour for lunch. Just do it this way. And the person says, okay, you want me to do it that way? That's the way I'm going to do it, but it's not necessarily the best way to do it. Perform a task the same way each time to eliminate variance. The logic here in creating these type of standards is think in terms of the following. If I know that I have a standard operating procedure within a work center that is done the same way every single time, theoretically, if it works each time, it should always come out the same. So one of the steps that successful lean companies or manufacturing flow improvement puts into place is setting up regular quality checks. So think in terms of the following. Let's say we have work center A, work center B, work center C, and then the final is work center D. If I have within A, B, C, and D standard operating procedures, all the written instructions are there and available to do the same process each time in the work center the same way. I have all the necessary tools well defined in the right position. As a product enters into work center A, the work starts. When it's ready to leave work center A, To be successful, many companies do a quality check as it exits Work Center A. If there is an issue at that particular time, rather than waiting till the product gets to Work Center D and find out we have an issue, we find the quality check right there at Work Center A. We're able to capture what the issue is. We can modify the process within Work Center A. And in theory, if we do inspection in and out of every single work center, we should be able to then, at the tail end, no longer have to worry about, do we have higher rework or was there a quality issue? Think about in Work Center A, if I am drilling a hole or boring a hole in a metal plate, and then the assembly is done in Work Center D, and I wait till Work Center D to find out that the two items I need to attach through these bored out holes aren't in alignment, I need to figure out where in heaven's name did I go wrong. Do I go all the way back to Work Center A? And by the way, all the material I used in B and C is now garbage. It's waste. So by doing the quality check in Work Center A, ensuring that the holes are drilled in the right place, I'm going to start to eliminate that. Now, I know a lot of that sounds theoretical. All I can say to you is in a true lean environment, and we have seen the results where by putting these inspection steps in, by doing the five S's, we have seen within multiple companies dramatic, dramatic reduction in waste, dramatic reduction in rework, and invertly, a huge success in customer service. It provides dollars and opportunity to the company itself. So let's talk about reemphasizing the elimination of waste. What we're looking at is within waste itself, there are non-value-adding activities that contribute to waste. So what are they? It really comes in, based on what we've seen through research, falls into seven different forms. And think in terms of these as they relate to your business, where they can fall in. Most people think about waste as comparable to recycling, garbage, whatever it may be. But let's go one step further, because these start to become the elements of addressing your standard operating procedure. First one is defective products. Well, a defective product is waste. If you get a product, you acquire the product, it can't be used, it's waste, it's gone. Someone within manufacturing has got to absorb that cost. Overprocessing is waste. Example of that, we had a company that we worked with that, again, had very heavy welding and very heavy sanding after the weld. We found that the welding, we found that the time to do the sanding was way outside the variances of what we expected. So the immediate focus was, well, what are you people in sanding doing? Well, it turns out that the folks that were doing the welding were overprocessing the weld to the point that it increased the amount of sanding, which ultimately led to additional waste, additional time, and in some cases, because there was so much extra sanding, a lot of the dimensions required for those products no longer fit. Overproduction. How many times have we, give you a very trivial example, turned the head of that screw just one more time to tighten it, and then here, oh God, it just popped. So by putting the standard operating procedures in place and following those standard operating procedures, we eliminate the waste associated with overproduction. And again, waste is measured in how much time we are putting in to a value activity. Movement, we've talked about that. So go back to my example of Work Center A, B, C, and D. It ties to the wait time. If I complete a project in Work Center, a product in development in Work Center A, there is a movement from A to B. How much time is taking for that movement? Because that is a waste amount of time. It ties to the waiting, and it's something that if I can improve my manufacturing flow or eliminate some of that movement time, then I'm starting to add value. Transportation is waste. shipping product across the country. How effectively am I doing that? I had clients that are so concerned about filling up a full truckload to ship that they'll keep products sitting in finished inventory ready to go to a customer far more time-wise than is necessary, instead of considering maybe a subcontracting with a smaller vehicle and getting those products out. When I look at activities that are non-value, it's inventory. Inventory is really a very interesting concept. When you listen to multiple areas of a business, whether it's sales, finance, or operations, operations, I always hear, if I had the right parts at the right time in the right place, I could produce product. Sales turns around and said, if you only had more of the finished good in inventory, I could sell a gazillion dollars, and I just don't have the finished products in inventory. And finance is always coming back and saying, we're paying too much money for inventory all the way through the company. So right off the bat, I've got three conflicting areas that relates to something as simple as inventory. So how do I basically put in place parameters that align the inventory to maximize the benefit to the client? And again, we talked about waiting. All you have to do is go outside any given day, and we all see it and we laugh about it. The truck that pulls in to a construction site and the driver sitting in his truck having his coffee and waiting for his truck to have its turn to be filled up with whatever's got to be transported. We always joke and say, well, I guess that's expected in what's going on, but it's a waiting. And again, if we put the standard operating procedures in place, we reduce and focus on minimizing the cost of wait, then I think we will be in much better shape. So I've thrown a lot out, and what I wanted to do was share with you, where can you go from here? Because I know I've thrown a lot of theories and good things, and people come back and say, okay, Dave, that all sounds great. What can I do with this information and go from here? What I would suggest is that if you haven't already done it, is create a process flow of your operations. Very key is many people and many consultants do this, and I find those consultants are not truly adding value. They create a process flow based upon everybody else's perception. So example, I'll sit down with someone who is the CFO of the company, has nothing to do with operations, and say, why don't you let me know how the manufacturing flow goes? That's ridiculous. Let's go down to this process flow and look at the site and follow a product all the way through. Look at your current inspection process and points of quality check. Am I actually doing an inspection at every work center or every key point throughout the process? And then what action steps am I taking right there and then when I don't hit the quality standards? Are my SOP, standard operating procedures, well-defined and at every workstation along the way and every work center along the way? Have I assigned goals? We touched on this to Dana's question about including people. Do they understand the goals and how we create accountability? Do they understand that our goal is 98% quality control? And what does that mean? And who should be held accountable? And by the same token, is there a recognition and a reward system in place for people who achieve these goals? Provide team feedback. That's what I talked about, those daily meetings. Way to go, guys. Here's what went on today, yesterday. I'm going to show you how this even applies outside of manufacturing. The medical practice that I'm working with has three major components. There is a place called the phone room, which we're all familiar with, where you call in to schedule your appointment or go online to make your appointment. Then there is the overall medical assistance. It's the people who have to bring the patients to the examining room, take the vitals, get them ready for the doctor themselves. And then the third area is the doctor, he or she, who's going to see the patient. There was a lot of issues in this medical practice I told you about, waiting and scheduling. They implemented and started it a few weeks back, where every day for 5 minutes, the head of the board, the phone room, the head of the medical assistants, and the doctor meet for 5 minutes, pull out the schedule and say, here are the patients we're seeing today. Are there any issues? Were there any cancellations? Is there any priority we need to address? They looked at the schedule. If everything looked great, they said, go for it. We're on. If there was a situation that said, oh my God, it looks like for patient A, we've only scheduled 15 minutes and I know that patient's going to need something, phone room, can you call that patient and see if we can extend their visit? Address it right there and then, rather at the end of the day when all the patients are upset and gone. And then integrate non-production into production focused on everyone looking at customer sat. Make sure everybody understands what the customer is expecting. Challenge that tribal knowledge. Let go of what's not working. And as I said, remember Albert Einstein's insanity quote that doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, if those results are not good, is really a true definition of insanity. So again, Dana, on that note, hopefully I've stayed within our schedule. I want to thank everybody for attending, and if there are any questions, I am happy to answer as best I can.
Perfect. A couple things. One is, first of all, thank you for attending. We're going to be turning off the recording feature in just a minute, and then we're going to open up the line so you can talk directly with David. But I want to invite you to our August 23rd open line program. Safety is the backbone for every business, and you can sign up for that. It's all ready for that timing. And David, I want to thank you for a magnificent program. That was just phenomenal.
Thank you, David.
Oh, you're welcome. So if everyone could please hold the line, I'm going to ask everyone attending today if you could please put your phone on mute, not on hold. Please do not put your phone on hold because then we'll all get music. But put your phone on mute and then unmute it if you have a question for David. So I'm going to turn the recording feature off right now, and it'll be right back.